message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Now we are doing favor models. And we picked out three people that we want to look at. There are many of them. And I have all of them in my notes. But I want to pick three this month for this six-part teaching. We're looking at Ruth. We're looking at Joseph. And we are looking at Hadassah. That's Esther. So, I want to achieve two purposes. Number one is, I want to prophetically launch you into tangible, unprecedented favor of God. Listen, I have received a command to bless. And when I bless, no one can reverse. You are blessed. Amen. There is no divination against you. There is no enchantment against you. It can only and will only be to you according to that which the Lord has wrought. Are you saying amen to that?
Yes.
This is a prophetic meeting, so make sure you have your spirit. Stop looking around. Get ready. Receive with your spirit. Glory to God forevermore. The number two, I want to engage your intellect through inductive learning. As we comb out common denominators in the life of Ruth, Joseph, and Esther as favor models. Now, what do I mean by inductive learning? Those of you that are in education, you know what I mean by inductive learning. Inductive learning is just, it's one of the things they also call discovery learning. All right? It's a process where the learner discovers rules. He discovers rules by observing examples and patterns. That means, unlike deductive learning, where they give you formula for you to apply to solve a problem. Inductive learning, on the other hand, will simply observe examples and patterns, and then it will draw out, it will comb out rules that it will personally incorporate to get the same results. So, like I told you, the Christian faith is a faith of definite instruction. Nothing is mysterious. Anything you see happen in scripture, like salvation, as miraculous as salvation is, in fact, it's the greatest miracle. Yet, we have instructions in the word of God, certain things that must be done to make it happen all the time. Listen, I can work miracles every day. I know what to do from God's word to make it happen every day. As a matter of fact, from 2011 till date, there is no week. No week passes me by without healing or working a miracle or saving a soul. No week. Why? Because I found out. Listen, I don't have to always feel the anointing. For instance, the Bible says, go. As you go, the Bible says, as they went, the Lord walking with them with signs and wonders. First of all, it says, go and make disciples of all nations. Preach the gospel. Then the next verse says, as they went, the Lord walking with them with signs and wonders. So, they went. They didn't sit at home. They went. You want to see a miracle? Go out and preach the gospel. Can you see that? So it's systematic. So now these people, Ruth, oh boy. Say after me, my name is Ruth. I am beauty. I dwell in glory. I drip glory. My name is Ruth. I am beauty. Interesting. You see, favor is like faith. It demands that God be your source and your only source. Favor, like every other good thing, demands that you activate it by faith. And guess what? All the promises of God in scripture, they are voice activated. So, faith is what activates favor in your life. And what do I mean by that? You receive a thing by hearing God's word on that thing. Because that's how faith is built. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You get healed by hearing the gospel on healing. You get salvation by hearing the word of your salvation. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians 1:13, it says that after that you heard the gospel of your salvation, alright, and you were saved and sealed with the spirit of promise. So you heard the gospel of salvation, that's why you got saved. So now favor comes to you as you hear the gospel on favor, as you hear God's word on favor. And faith begins where the will of God is known. You cannot have faith when you can't ascertain the will of God on that matter. So that means, what is the will of God as touching favor? Well, Psalms 5 verse 12 says, "For thou, O God, will bless the righteous, will bless the righteous, and encompass him with favor as with a shield." So he will, he's not just able, he is willing. God is able and willing to favor you. So favor, divine favor, is a necessity to get to God's designed destination for you. It is God's demonstrated delight upon an individual. It means divine endorsement. Listen, you are going to a place now where God is going to raise you up. And I don't want you to compromise going up the mountain. Why? Because I don't want you to bow to Baal. I want you to stand on ground and receive favor. Favor is going to speak for you where your natural competence couldn't speak for you. Amen. Somebody is entering into favor today. Amen. I see somebody is entering into favor. Amen. And God gives favor. In Daniel 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Now God has brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch." Listen to me. You are entering into favor today. Amen. I say you are entering into favor today. Amen. It's like second service people are not, they are not ready yet. I say you are entering into favor today. Amen. It looks like half of what first service did. I say you are entering into favor today. Amen. Young man, see, there's a promotion. You and White, stand up. There's a promotion that is being delayed for your dad. Okay? That promotion, before the end of this month, all the required individual, the hand of the Lord is touching them right now. Amen. Does it make sense to you? That is expecting a particular promotion. That is expecting it. True. Thus said the Lord, it is done. Amen. This is your first time in this church, right? Huh? I've never seen you before. Sit down. Praise God forevermore. God gives favor. I say God gives favor. I say God gives favor. You have to see it. And it begins with your mindset. You have to believe it. You have to confess it. You make it happen with your words. A man's belly is filled with the fruit of his lips. Proverbs 18 verse 21. A man's belly is filled with the fruit of his lips. That means you are the sum total of the things you've been saying for many years. What you believe and what you've been saying is the outcome of what your life is experiencing right now. You could have been brought up in a contradictory environment, but you can change the course of your life by shaping your life with the words of your mouth. Favor is like faith. It demands that you speak. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, it says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we keep quiet. We therefore believe, and we do what?" You must be a speaker. Stop saying, "Well, I'm just this person. I don't like talking. I'm introvertish." No, no. That's not the nature of your God. The first character of God we saw in Genesis 1 was that he was a speaker. He was speaking, "Light be, light was." He says, "Fish come out," and fish came out. He was speaking all through. And in chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "And he made man a living soul." The original Hebrew rendition doesn't say living soul. The original Hebrew rendition says, "He made man another speaking spirit." So you are a speaking spirit. You are a spirit. You live in a body. You have a soul. That means you can shape the experiences of your life with your words. Listen, the bag of air that you carry around yourself is the product of the predominant speech that you make. When you talk doubt, when you talk unbelief, when you talk fear, when you talk about a dark future, when you think impossibility, you build a wall around you. There are some of you here, you need to break out of wrong imaginations. You need to break out of wrong assumption. You need to break out of wrong expectation. Because you see, faith is towards God, but fear is also faith towards the devil. Yes, sir. Yes, So you can build a wall of favor around yourself. You got to start with speaking. I am favored today. Favor is using me. I walk in the favor of God. You've got to expect it. It's a principle. So, like I told you, it's a prophetic meeting. And as I speak, as the Spirit moves me, you receive it with your faith. Because you see, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 4 verse 2, it says the gospel that was preached to you was also preached to the Israelites, but it did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. Give it to me. Hebrews 4. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Talking to the children of Israelites. Don't forget, it was preached to them that they would go to their promised land. But they didn't believe. And they perished in the wilderness. They said, he has come to kill us here. And guess what? God said, as you have rehearsed in my ear, so will I do unto you. And guess what? They all died. Their generations, no one entered into the promised land. It's their children that entered. Look at it. Why he did not promise them? Look at it. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. As I'm preaching and speaking on favor, you have to receive it with faith. You have to mix it with faith. I say you are favored. Yeah. The favor of God erases stressless toil labor. Listen, favor is that flavor on your labor. It's what that had flavor to labor. It's not about hard work. Peter worked hard all through the night and he caught nothing. When we're talking about favor, we're not trying to teach you on being lazy. We know you are hardworking. Even God knows. Angels know, but you need favor. You need favor. And if you think your hard work is all you need, you go, you suffer. Because your master, Jesus, needed favor. The Bible says in the book of Luke 2:42, the Bible says he grew, the child Jesus grew in wisdom, knowledge, and in favor with God. He needed favor. Prophet Samuel, the priest of God. Give it to me. 1 Samuel 2. He needed favor. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 6. Give it to me. Give it to me quickly. 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2:26. The Bible says, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and us. There are two levels. You need favor with God. You need favor with man. You can't do nothing tangible on this earth without favor. You need favor. A general in this kingdom told the story of how he was going for a crusade. He finished the crusade in Ife, and God told him, don't go to Edo State. Go back to Ede and do the crusade. And the man of God said, I just did a crusade in Ife. Anybody who was in Ede, Ede is 35 minutes drive to Ife. For those of you who don't know, I schooled in Ife. So he said, so why will I go back to Ede? And God says, don't go to Edo, go to Ede. Guess what? When he got to Ede, someone say favor.
Favor.
Say it again.
Favor.
But do you know how he activated it? Obedience to the word of God. He went to Ede. When he got to Ede, in Yoruba land, Ede is one of those communities that the inhabitants are Muslims. And guess what? It was these Muslim people, they welcomed him and they gave him a blank check. Somebody say blank check.
Blank check.
They said, tell us, how many plot of land do you want? He said, this thing you are asking. If I ask, you already know what I'm talking about now. If I talk, well, I don't want to talk to daddy, but, well, can you give us 1,200 hectares? How many of you are geography students? You don't know 1,200 hectares. He says, is it 1,200 hectares? Take it. That's where their university is today. Free. Someone say free.
Free.
Do you know how many plots is in an hectare? 1,200 hectares. Free. Someone say free.
Free.
You are entering such favor today.
Yeah.
I said you are entering into favor today.
Amen.
So favor is a currency in the kingdom to achieve God's plan for your life. You need favor. You need favor. Oh, Exodus 3:21. Exodus 3:21. The Bible says, and I will. Someone say, I will.
I will.
Say it again. God is willing. He says, I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. You will not go empty.
Amen.
I said you will not go empty.
Amen.
Exodus 12:36. Exodus 12:36. Same thing. And the Lord gave the people, you see, he fulfilled it. He says, I will, but now he's reporting. Moses is reporting now what has happened. In chapter 3, it was a prophecy. It was a desire expressed. He says, I will. But now he says, and the Lord gave the people favor. You know, I was meditating on ministry. And I realized that I have always known, but it got dawned on me that you need favor to do the work of God. Look at the life of Jesus. Favor all through. As an infant, he received gold, myrrh, and frankincense. That was enough to sustain him when they fled on exile to Egypt. Somebody say favor. Some of you think it is three wise men. I don't know where you got your Bible. Read your Bible where it's not three wise men. The Bible did not mention three. The Bible only said they came with three gifts. They only came with three kinds of gifts. Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Go and read your Bible. They are not three men. Forget all those hair drama you did in secondary school. They were grown up men and they were many. Because the gold was enough to sustain them until the king died. Because the king was wishing the life of the child. And God told Joseph to flee. Somebody say favor.
Favor.
Say it again.
Favor.
In the fulfillment of destiny, which was to go to the cross, as he was carrying his cross, he fell down. He still enjoyed favor. Somebody say favor.
Favor.
Somebody had to come and help him in fulfillment of destiny to go to the cross where he will be nailed. You need favor. The way,
somebody said hallelujah.
Daddy just told me, you see, the way they are being a blessing to the world today, you know, it's favor.
Yes,
he doesn't sweat the way I sweat. You know, I've told you the story of David and Goliath. How David believed in a big God. And anyway, you know, as a mathematician, I just, what is he preaching? But the next thing you say, the Lord, daddy just told me there's somebody here in 2 weeks, you have a billionaire come to you. And they'll say amen, and you see testimony. Is favor requires no qualification. A Moabite, Ruth, a Moabite, a Gentile, her name now is in the lineage of the Messiah. Somebody say favor.
Favor.
You need favor. Esther is not the only most beautiful girl. Mary is not the only virgin in Israel. But God's spotlight of favor was on her. Somebody is entering into unprecedented favor.
Yes.
Favor beyond your imagination.
Yes.
You need favor, my friend. You need it. So, I want to just take you into three things that Ruth did that positioned her into God's favor. Three things she did. Let me just give you a background of the story quickly by reading the book of Ruth 1-6 to you. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites and Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the mount of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters in the law, and she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. You see, sometimes a lot of people don't know what they have until they lose it. When she was in the famine, she had her two sons. When she was in the famine, she had her husband. But when she went to the wrong town in search of food because of famine, you know, some people make eternal decision around temporal aggrandizements, temporal benefits. If you've made such decision, God is bringing you back. God is bringing you back. And if you are at the verge of making such decision, you will not make it. I mean, for 10 years, she lost all the men she has ever loved in her life. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. Now she's now in this Trinity sister that are actually joined together by grief. The only thing they had in common is the death of their husbands. So that was the background. So our two daughter-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, they are both Moabites. Now she came back to her senses. She even changed her name. She says, I'm no longer called Naomi. Start calling me Mara because God has dealt evil with me. That's a wrong assumption. Mara means bitterness. That's why I tell people, we don't name people by circumstance in this church. Name matters. For example, the word root means beauty. Orpah, I checked when I was studying. Orpah means hind. You know hind? H-I-N-D. Back. That's the meaning of Orpah. It actually has two synonyms. Hind or one other animal like that. Can you give somebody's name animal? And the second meaning is back, backward. Name matters. So somebody wanted to say, you are bearing Jacob. Why can't you be bearing Jacob? Do you know the meaning of Jacob? He said, no. I said, Jacob means hush puppy. Swindler. 419. Anini. Say after me, say, my name is Ruth. Say it again, say, my name is Ruth. I am beauty. I drip glory. Glory to God. Because root means beauty. Pastor, I don't like my nose. Who told you? See, well, let me tell you a story. Oh, I need to say this. Time is fast. But let me just say, when I was in secondary school, I used to like one girl in our class. In GS3G then. GS3G, yeah. Her name is Happy. Thank God she's married now. She has kids. So we still talk. So just... But... Why did I like her? I just like her nose. That's all. The very thing she doesn't like about herself. The nose points up like this. Then come down again. You know, like this. That nose is what I liked. See, what you say, so stop. I didn't like my lips. Shut the trap. Listen, you are beauty. Say, I am beauty. My name is Ruth. Pastor, my head is big. Woo. Says woo. I have a friend who told me he can never marry a slim girl, that he likes his things big. Yes. So while you are there saying, I need to slim down, you have not found who loved you. That's your problem. You have not found who loved you. And it's true, he likes his things big. I'm telling you, his car big, everything big. He uses Tundra, Toyota. He likes everything big. He likes big things. And there are many people like that. So stop. See, favor, all right, overlooks your deficiency. Somebody say favor.
Favor.
Say it again.
Favor.
Yeah, one of the reasons why some ladies are in abusive marriages and they don't have the boldness to leave is because they are afraid nobody will marry them because they've been in one marriage before. Ruth was in one marriage before. Of course, in her own case, she lost her husband, but she got married to an unmarried elderly, of course, not extremely young, but Rich billionaire. He has a farm. So let's just join in together quickly in a few minutes. Then I pray for you. There's someone that you are entering to favor. Yeah. Ah! My angels are here. You are entering to favor! Yeah. I said, the favor of God singles you out! Yeah. Skip the practice. Go for a hactis, Kalidosh. Love for a hactis, ish. Lekus. I say, enter to favor! Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I say, 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 thank you, Lord. I was praying and a friend of mine, I saw her in a vision. I was praying some years ago and I saw her brother. She's the last one. Our two elder brothers, they are U.S., they are in U.S., they've been in U.S. all the while. Only her and her elder sister, because her elder sister is in Nigeria too. So she lives in Lekki. So I was praying. She's my friend from university. We're very close. She's my closest female friend. Prayed together. She's married now with kid anyway. So she, I was praying and I saw our younger brother, our elder brother rather, crying in the U.S. So I prayed some more. And the Lord says, declare favor. I say, somebody is crying, I should declare favor. Okay, I declared favor. So I called. When I was done praying, I called her. She told me, praise God. Tomorrow, our elder brother will be arraigned before the court for a charge of murder. And in the U.S., you know it's not Nigerian legal system. They say he has been found guilty. He just needs to be sentenced the next day before the judge. That even his own his counsel, their counsel they've been speaking with in the U.S., has been advising them that they should plead guilty. Lawyers, law students, you know what I mean? That he should plead guilty. I said, don't plead no guilty. The favor of God will speak for him. Guess what? He appeared before. See, listen, this is a judicial system. This is a judicial system that is not compromised. It's not like in Nigeria where you can find your way out. You know, this is a judicial system that is very organized. I said, by the word of the Lord. Someone said, the word of the Lord. He appeared before the judge, shivering. And the judge said, you are charged and acquitted. Not forgiven. Not that his punishment was reduced. Acquitted. See, to be acquitted means we didn't find any fault in you. You are free. That means it's not as if you were pardoned. No charge against you. It means justified. Just as if I never did it. Somebody say favor.
Favor.
He found favor with the judge. Somebody is entering favor today.
Yeah.
Hear me. On any property that there is a strife against your parents, by the favor of the Lord, as a prophet that I am, ikapatosu karabahaya, by the favor of God, your parents take their possession.
Amen.
Take their possession.
Amen.
Take their possession.
Amen.
And every hand of any human trying to connive together against them to take and dispossess them of their possession, from today, they are rendered powerless.
Amen.
Their hand will not perform their merchandise.
Amen.
They will walk in darkness in the day.
Amen.
Can I have a big amen to that?
Amen.
Somebody say favor.
Favor.
So let's look at this thing quickly. How Ruth encountered favor. Go to verse 16. How did Ruth position herself for favor? Because this thing is a positioning. It's a positioning. In Ruth 1:16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Now, I mean, this is the natural thing to do. You both have lost your husband. This woman is old. She can't have a new husband. Even if she does, she can't have a baby. And even if she has a baby by a miracle, that baby will have... Will you wait for the baby to grow so that you can marry him? So she says, please go back to your motherland. I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah, where I came from, the house of bread. So, upper, kissed her, and left. And I spoke something about that in first service. Get the tape. When people have chosen to leave you, let them go. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not. So, Naomi was saying, please go. Go away. You know, have you ever, you know, I don't have what you could be asking for. Just go away. I came full, but now I'm going back empty. But go away. You know, some people, they are in trouble, they are in challenge, they are in quagmire, and now they want to push everybody away. Say, go away, I can't even have kids for you to marry even if I want to. So the logical thing to do was to go away. But this woman makes a decision not by senses. Listen, to be positioned for favor, you must walk by faith. Because favor comes through faith. And faith does not consider natural things. You walk by faith. You walk by faith. So she said, entreat me not to leave thee. That means don't tell me to go. Don't tell me to go. I'm not going. Or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord shall do to me, and more also. If aught but death part thee and me. Wow. Somebody say surrender. That is the number one step to positioning yourself for favor. Ruth surrendered. 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 Guess what? On following Ruth back, this is a prophetic meeting. On following Naomi back to Bethlehem, Judah, guess what happened? It happened to be the time when they were having harvest of barley. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I am led into prepared places. I have all things ready for me. Favor is speaking for me. Look at Ruth 122. Ruth 122. Media. He says, so Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. You are walking into harvest. Amen. You are walking into harvest. Amen. I said you are walking into harvest. Amen. So now she came into a nation, she became a part of association in their time of harvest. When I was in university, I had this roommate. It's not a good example, but I just want to show you something. He has plenty of girlfriends. So, many times, I used to play matured guy there. You understand what I mean? Like, one has come. Then another one just comes unannounced. Because he has a lot of girlfriends. So, there are some that it just comes unannounced. And then, so, I will now say, hey, this guy don't have trouble today. So I will now try to keep that one company until he knows how to. So he now started dating one in my department, my faculty. Her name is Tolu. Hey, I hope she doesn't listen to this. So Tolu. Now, this girl. So I sat him down. I say, come. Guy, you are also dating one girl in Germany. Because then he was using one, you know, Symbian phone then. I said, which one? Choose. Stop to the waka up and down. All right. Long story short, he said, Pastor Man, no lie for you. That one, where your department, that one, Nayan like pass. Okay, if Nayan you like pass, stick to this one. Then he said something, and I've noticed it. Now, every time he has money, this is girlfriend, is my department mate. She's close to me, some sort of as well. She's good. But she buys things for him. Sometimes she will come with a lot of things, you know. She's a wonderful, wonderful, well, wonderful trained girl. But there's a pattern. He said he realizes that every time he's about to expect some money or he's about to get some money, they will always fight. And they will keep, you know, those children, boyfriend, girlfriend nonsense, they keep in malice, all those university nonsense. So for 2 weeks, you know those kind of, that you will not call him, but you'll be checking his status. That kind of yeah, boyfriend, girlfriend. For 2 weeks, they will not talk. But guess what? That is when he now has money. So in his mind, you're feeling that, Toluna, now I get money. All these ones, you know, they give me anything. I don't come to chop my money. So that's disfavor. Did you get the point? That's disfavor. I pray for you. Every experience of disfavor, when you get there, that's when they will say, he just finished now. When you get there, that's when they will say, the last person just, from today, break out from it. Break out from it. I say, break out from it. So Ruth, number one, is she surrendered. She made that decision to surrender. That's the first step Ruth took. The next step Ruth took is this. Go to Ruth 2. Let's go to chapter 2. We are done with chapter 1. Chapter 2. And verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman. I wish I have time to talk about this book of Ruth. It's one of my favorite books. I love it. Ruth, Hadassah, that's Esther. And I like Joseph as well. Oh, what a favorite model they are. Look, and Naomi had a king's man. How many of you have seen the picture of Jesus here? Don't worry, I'm not trying to go into the theological aspect of it, but this is a word of faith meeting, so just pay attention. And Naomi had a king's man of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. Say after me, I enter into prepared places. And Naomi had a king's man of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. The first, second step. When she got to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, the first thing she did was she noticed that harvest was going on. So she chose to go and glean. She chose to serve. She positioned herself for favor. Look at it. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears. Ears is the old King James way of cobs. Cob of corn. Ears of corn. After him. In whose? After him. That means it wasn't like she knew she was going to meet Boaz. She just chose to serve her mother-in-law. And then he now said, in whose sight am I find? Let me tell you what it means to glean. In those days, after you harvest, there's a Jewish law that you must not harvest everything from your farm. In the law of Leviticus, you must deliberately leave some or some crumbs. Like if you pack some things and some things fell down, maybe as you are packing your grains, some things fell down. Don't pack it, just leave it, because he said it is for the poor. So they will come and glean the field. So the remnants of what is left in the field is what they call gleaning. So you go to pick it. So now, so Ruth says, you know what, let me go to the field now and glean. And this is a large expanse of field. But guess what? It turned out, someone said nothing just happened. Say it again. You know, some people think, well, I wrote 2 jams. I was not admitted in the schools I once. I don't know, I just choose. And I just got it. And when I came, I was looking for a house. I looked for a house, I did not see a house. I just saw a house close by. I just entered it. I don't know, one day I was just passing by. It just happened that I saw one signboard, Cornerstone. Or it could be, my roommate just told me, there's a church there, can we just, let me, so that's why I'm here, Jare. So you think it's by happenstance, you are a joker. Yeah. Nothing just. So why did it happen that she goes to glean, and in the field of the person she was going to glean, belongs to a man who is legible to be a king's man redeemer. Let me tell you what is a kinsman redeemer in Jewish culture. In Jewish culture, if a man dies married without having any child, the closest kinsman will redeem him by helping him to raise sons and children in his name, so that his name will not be erased what they call census of the city. Because this thing they call census, it's been heard. Remember those times David were counting and writing? They have census. In fact, it was census that took Jesus to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem. Sure, you know. Everybody was going back because of census. That's why he did not have room. Because some people think, Jesus is a poor man. He was born in a manger. Shut up. It was because he was living in Capernaum. When he got to, go and read your Bible, Luke 2, from verse 1 to 6. When he got to Capernaum, everybody has returned back to the village. There was no, the Bible says, and there was no hotel room for them. Everywhere was occupied. Why are you guys looking at me like this? Contrary to what you have heard all the time, little Jesus was born in the manger. No, it wasn't prophetic. Let me tell you. It was because his water broke. Our water broke. If you have given birth before, you know. I just all right, you will give birth in Jesus' name. Yeah. Glory to God forevermore. All right, our water broke, and the closest place was in the manger. So it was that census. They don't want the name of that person to be wiped out, because nobody will continue the name. Do you understand? That's called redeeming. It happened to be that the person that owns the farm where she went to glean belongs to a man who is legible. He was not the immediate person. The immediate person later felt, I'm going to have complications with share of because the condition was that there are principles. Number one, the land that belongs to the husband. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
you are going to also redeem the land, and you will also marry the wife of the owner of the land. That's where they do it. That means if somebody dies and he has a land, okay, now the wife wants to sell it because she's broke. So you will buy the land to redeem the land back, because selling of land is not something that people see as something they are proud of. So you will redeem the land, and you will also marry the wife of the owner of the land and help him that is dead raise sons. So the man said, I have my own children. I don't think I can do this one. No. That was how Boaz said, okay, no problem. Since you can't do it, I will do it. Because he is a single old man, but very rich. All right, there's a narrative, and don't mistake me. There's a narrative that says, marry a poor man, grow together, it's good. But listen, sometimes it's not all, some poor men are wicked too. Sure, you know. So you don't have to always, now you're happy now. What's that? I'm not saying, pay attention. I'm not saying that you should be looking for money. This guy must be rich before marrying. No, that's not what I'm saying. Alright, what I'm saying is there are divine orchestrations. Alright? Where all the good things you want is God fearing, he's submissive to his pastor, he loves God, and he's also rich. All this Nollywood, they always portray good guy as poor. They always portray godly guy as broke. I am a godly man. I'm not broke. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, every good man does not have to be broke. Somebody here, you are walking into favor. So, stop all this. And if he's broke, well, fine. If all you want is in him, go for him. But don't close your mind. Have you seen that most broke and broken men, they are the ones that used to have high libido. They have plenty of children. They are very useless. Lazy. Do you know why? Because any broke person that is broke and hardworking, that brokenness is for a while. I mean, you have first child, second child, fourth child, fifth child, sixth child. You know why? No job. He's not thinking. There's no work. No work. It's just the woman feed him. Boom. And then he has strength. Kick her again. Boom. No job. Praise God. Let's go to verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight am I find favor? And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her harp was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. It happened. Someone said nothing just happened. So that was the favor. Say after me, say, I am committed to a righteous cause. Therefore, I am positioned to be noticed by those sent by God to favor me. Say, I am favored. I am positioned to be noticed by those sent of God to favor me. Look at verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. That means he's a boss. He just comes, you know, when the boss comes into the company. And then he said, now well done. And then look at what happened. And the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. That's where they greet in Hebrew, in Jewish culture. You know, they just greet. And then verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was sit over the reapers. Come. Who's that girl? La 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 la. You will know that song. Many of you is the ones you know is an entire case. That's what you know. All right. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? What's that? Verse 6. And the servant that was set over his reapers answered. Now, the first thing that attracted him, I'm going to show you soon. Outwardly, she looks amazing. She is beauty. She was dripping glory. She's beauty. Her name is Ruth. Say, my name is Ruth.
My name is Ruth.
Say it again.
My name is Ruth.
But that was not enough. Look out. That was not enough. Look at. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Are you following?
Yes,
now, say after me, in the name of Jesus,
my seed of service
in the kingdom
testifies
in my advantage,
and it positions me
for divine reward. Look at what happened. Look at verse 9.
He says, then said Boaz, verse 9.
He now says, now, verse 9, she asks, she says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. So Boaz say, okay, come. Immediately told him that it was that woman, that Moabitish woman that followed Naomi. He now said, okay, come, young girl, come. You know what? Don't go to other places to glean. You know what? Like a CEO, you don't have to go other places. Just stay in this farm. I've told the young men not to disturb you. And whenever you are thirsty, look at it. When thou art athirst, go to the vessels. Drink water which the young men have drawn. You're supposed to draw, everyone's supposed to go and get water, but just go to where the water they have drawn. I've commanded all my staffs, all right, to give you coffee anytime you want it. Don't go to other companies to glean. Let's go to verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes? Why are you so favorable to me? Why did you favor me so much? That thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger, because she is a Moabite. Despite that I'm a stranger, you showed me favor. Why? Look at the answer. Can we all read verse 11 together? 3, 2, go. And Boaz answered. No, I don't like that. I want us to read out loud. 3, 2, go. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and hast come unto... Look at verse 12. Look at what he now says. And Boaz answered, and the Lord recompensed thy work.
Completely.
I declare over you, in the name of Jesus, every seed of service that you render in the kingdom, it will stand for you in favor
with me.
It will position you for divine reward.
How many look at verse 13? Look at the next question. Then she said, let me favor in sight, Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaid. Verse 14. Look at the request she made. Now look at verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at meal time, come thou hither and eat of the bread. And dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Say after me, say, I find favor with men. This is a prophetic meeting. Say, I find favor with men. I have my request granted. I am invited to feast in places where my natural competence could not have brought me. Now, the next thing Ruth did, don't forget, number one was what? She surrendered. She surrendered. Number two was what? She served. Some people cannot serve. Why? Service is greatness in the kingdom, and it positions you for favor. She served. Then the next one is she pursued intimacy. She pursued intimacy. Go to verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Wow. Let me tell you, gleaning normally is you're supposed to get the remnants, the things that are left. But now Boaz is saying, don't even let her be gleaning from remnants. Let her glean from the original grains. Wow. Verse 16. And let fall also some of the arms. That means be intentionally let some of the sheaves. You know, when they pack others, they will make sheaves. Says, intentionally drop some for her. Say, I'm walking to favor today. Say, I'm walking to favor today. Then he says, and let fall also some of the handful of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out, and she had gleaned. She's not a lazy woman. You see, Ruth was not there at home, twerking and doing Snapchat and TikTok. She was a hard-working babe. Correct, Jesus, babe. Are you hearing me? She wasn't twerking, waiting for one man to come and take her from her father's house. She has a job. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wash. Be free from laziness. Yeah. I said, be free from laziness. Yeah. And that's why you become an asset of, not even an asset now, you become, that's why when I hear some people on social media, from the way they talk, when you see the way they respond to some posts, I'm like, geez. Especially some people, I don't want to mention the tribe, because I'm not a tribalistic, but this is a church of God. There's a particular tribe where, I don't know, maybe they are selling their children. I don't know. I know a few cases where, after the husband marries the wife, he says, I don't marry you now. She might not enter that village again. Your family, if they are calling, you will not pick their call. Because they put rope. You must buy a wrapper for the family. You must buy a wrapper for this one. You must buy a particular state in this country, I don't want to mention. Just make life. So now the guy goes about and says, do you know how much I marry her? So he doesn't see you beyond price that was paid for. Meanwhile, dowry is supposed to just be a token of honor. In my place, they still collect 20 naira or thereabout, and they'll still pay you back the money. Say, I refuse to be a liability. Alright, I know a few ladies. Since we finished school, alright, on social media, they are just, we are waiting for a man to come and pick them off the shelf. They are not having any value. They are not reading any book. They are not learning, they are not getting any training. They are not planning to volunteer anywhere. Some people, after they finish school, they get degree. Come and volunteer with an international NGO. Say, no, how much are they paying? They don't pay me any money. No, I'll just sit down with my iPhone. And then we'll be doing Snapchats, Snapsheets, or what do you call that? Snapchats. I get it right. Snapchats. TalkTik. TikTok. I don't know. Then you see all their face. They put massacre on their... mascara, you know. And then they'll be tracking. So they are waiting for one man to come and pick them off the shelf. Be free from laziness. Say, I am root. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. I'm teaching you how to put, because you see, even if I put a prophetic word over you, if there is no positioning on your part, it can elude you. There are some of you, there are so many prophecies hanging around your head that has not been fulfilled. Why? You have refused to position yourself to harvest it. You have to put in the sickle to harvest what has been there already. Because faith is the access to what which grace has made available. No faith, grace will be lying there untapped. And these things are actions of faith that you do. Number one, you surrender. Number two, choose to serve. Number three, pursue intimacy. And I'm going to show you that. Because it is God that gives favor. You pursue intimacy with Him. And what that does to you is it purifies your motive. There are some people, they have participated in all the challenges on social media. Gossip challenge, they were there. And there's another one again. Silhouettes, they were there. There's another one now, crane challenge. I hope you know medical doctors are on strike. I think, or have they come back? And let me tell you, it takes millions to do MR, what do you call that thing? It takes, if you damage your joint, you know how medical doctors, they are, do you understand? This is not, go and be doing, and the crate here is not the same thing with your own crate. Everything in there is substandard. You fall down, you break anything, you will tell me when you become a ballet. Every challenge, but Bible challenge, you will not see them there. The tapes of this house, what will it cost you to do a TikTok of the tape of a particular part of scripture that blessed you or a message that I preached and share it? Can't you see people doing TikTok with messages? Haven't you seen? If you don't see, let me see your hands up. If you have never seen, okay. It means you've been following the, you know, some people, the people they follow on social media is, they follow Tasha, Kim Kardashian, Cardi B. And the kind of people, well, receive your deliverance today. Yeah. Listen, there are some attitude. Listen, it looks funny. It looks funny, but these are some of the things that have blocked you from favor. You don't know. It has blocked some people from favor. I know a company where they wanted to hire staffs, and the first thing they did was they put out opportunity for volunteers. They said they wanted servant leaders. So it was those people that actually applied for volunteer that they later reabsorbed as staffs. So look at it. Verse 17. 17, quickly. Verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that which she gleaned and was about the ephah of barley. Ephah of barley is a measurement of a food substance that can feed you for a week. So one gleaning, she had something that could feed her and her mother-in-law for a week. Someone say service.
Service.
Say it again.
Service.
Now look at verse 3, chapter 3. Let's now go to chapter 3. Now we are done chapter. Let's go to chapter 3. You see how she pursued intimacy. Verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Media. Speed on your hand in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her. Can you see how she's receiving instructions? Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Verse 2. And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Verse 3. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. See, look at specific instruction. Now, don't try this, all right? This was in Jewish culture, and I will tell you the reason behind this. What she did was, Naomi told Ruth, he says, you know what? Tonight, in the evening, as he's going to winnow. Winnowing is not harvesting. Winnowing is part of, like in rice production, for example, they have harvesting, the husking, they separate, they call it destoning, winnowing. These are processes until they get into bagging. All right, so winnowing, the local one you know in the village is, after they harvest those rice, they will beat it with mortar, then they will pack the grains, and then they will throw it up. So that as it's coming down, the chaff, the wind will take away the chaff, and then it is only the rice that will drop, then they will pack the rice. That's why your rice, local rice, as stones, because it's not a computerized, it's not a technological way of doing it neatly. So, it was winnowing in the evening because there will be wind in the evening. So it was winnowing. So the mother-in-law says, okay, you know what? Wash yourself. Wear your best gown. Look good. Now, in the evening when he's done eating, after they are done winnowing and he's done eating and he sleeps on his bed, just sneak to where he's sleeping. Lie down at the edge of where he's sleeping and just lie down there. So in the night, when Boaz woke up, he noticed that there was somebody at the edge of his bed. He said, hey, who is that? And he said, be kind unto the handmaiden. Blah, 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 blah. And then he used his clothes to cover her. He now said, are thou not my kinsman redeemer? Now, it's a culture. Because she was there, she's now asking that he should redeem her. Because she needs someone to redeem her. Now, this is the beautiful picture about the cross and how that a Moabite woman, a Gentile, was grafted into the salvation plan of God. But I'm not going to the theological aspect of it, but I just want you to see, I'm just looking at lesson on how to position yourself for favor. Look at the same thing with Rahab. The same thing with Rahab. All right. We'll do a teaching on Rahab some other time. Amen. Now, so now, this was what happened. Now, pay attention. Don't go and try this time more. All right, they did that. She did that. Pay attention. She did that because, number one, I believe strongly that Naomi, Boaz also has good reputation and is known to be a man that will not take advantage of girls. You know, there are some people, some men, when they say, Omo, I just sleep with them where? Sleep with them. Omo, how many girls have you slept with this month? Omo, like, 1, 2. Like 7. I'll be bad. You are a fool. You are taking advantage of people that you should help. You are not a bad dude. So I believe Boaz, all right, has that reputation that Naomi trusted that he wouldn't do that. And so he covered her with his clothes. Now, that means, in the first place, Boaz has already liked the girl. You remember where we started from? When he saw the girl say, whose damsel is that? He asks, you know, there's a way a boss can like a new employed employee and he would not want all the other old employee to know. You just walk. Yeah, good morning, sir. Who is that new cleaner? What's her name?
You don't like the babe. That was what happened here.
So now, Boaz now says, pay attention. Boaz now says, you know what? I am not the next person to actually redeem you. There's another person that is his son if he was to redeem you at all. Let's go to the person and see. If the person refuses to redeem you, I will redeem you. Let's go. Say after me. Say in the name of Jesus, I am favored. So now, she washes herself. That means this is connotative of motive purification. Because, we don't know, we are talking about inductive learning. Alright? Just, the message here is, be willing to surrender, be willing to serve, and be willing to pursue intimacy with pure motive. Not that you are good to every guy because you are just expecting that one of them will come and toast you. No. Not that you are good to everybody just because you believe that one person... Good. It's good to expect people. But let me tell you, it is God that gives favor. It's God that gives favor. And sometimes, and even most times, you don't necessarily reap where you actually sow. God can actually repay you back true means you don't even know of. Somebody could just mention, and listen, if you want favor, sow favor. Yes, sir. Did you hear what I said? You sow favor. First Samuel 2:3 says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let no arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Motive in the kingdom is everything. It's not much about what you do. It's about why you do what you do. Your why is as much as important as what you do. And it only takes a spiritual person to discern wrong motives. Because even a prophet can be deceived. Samuel was once deceived. He saw Eliab with his broad chest, looking nice. He says, behold, the Lord's anointed is with you. Thank God, God cried out from heaven. He says, no, I have refused him. So it takes serious spiritual maturity. Remember when we started this ministry? I don't know those stories. There are some ladies... I said, I don't do cooler ministry. Don't worry. I know. Because I know this one. A wrong motive. Come to church late. Notice me. And then walk. I said, me, I'm not saying anything. I'm preaching. Even with these five people, that's my focus. You know what I'm saying? Miss Pepe. Yeah. All right. She changes her clothes. Oh, some of you need to change your mindset. Listen, favor comes as what you never worked for. So, you have to realize that you cannot pay attention. You do not have to. Let me use this example. So, here am I, when I was working in Abuja, here am I. I use Uber every day to office. Here am I, on a rainy day, sees a lady. I think I've noticed her because I know she seems to be living. I'm just giving an example. And I'm like, okay, it's raining, it's about to rain. She's stranded. We are both in central area. We say to, I'm going also to, you know, we are going to Gudu area, you know, Sunnyvale, where we live. Another, okay, looks like she's staying where we are living. All right. Tells Uber, please park. Pick her. In the rain. So, parks. Hopping. And it's like, who is that? Oh, okay. Oh, thank you. And then she comes in. Sits in the front. Because, you know, now I'm the boss. So, I sit at the back. All right. Looks like we are going to get to our own place before mine. Okay, let's go and drop her in our place. Don't worry. Just add it to my trip. I'll pay. We get there. And then the next thing, thank you. Can I have your number? I don't understand. Go! And I understand. You see, we live in a time where it looks like you really can't get anything without transaction. So people have thought that there is no free lunch anywhere. And truly so, but not with godly men. We can favor you without needing nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like all of you in my church, all these ladies in this church, look, can you see guys in the house, shout hallelujah. Sure you can see fine guys here. They are here and they are staying here because pastor is not, it's not. Mind that guy shouting Kai there. I don't trust him. All right. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, what happens? So you have to expect favor and stop this wrong thinking that you have to be transactional to be favored. Stop thinking you have to open your labs for a man to buy you gas. I'm serious. To buy you shawarma. You don't have to. You don't need that. In this church, as a man, I say sow favor to receive favor. All right? You saw a lady, you see maybe she's in ushering, or you see the way she's walking, and what would be wrong to say, good afternoon, ma'am. I don't know, how much is this your shoe? I don't mean to be disrespectful, ma'am. I just want to buy you this shoe. Without any motive, wrong. And what I just said now, if it did not go down with your mind, with your heart, then that means something is wrong with you. I met a lady one time. Let me close. Oh, today spent. I was going from here to Abuja. So she was stranded, obviously. She came for a field trip work. Our company sent her, but they did not cover up all the other expenses. She went to Lafayette to gather some samples. It's an NGO, an health inclined NGO, something like that. So we entered the same vehicle from here to Maraba. So she was now asking me, excuse me, please, where can I get a vehicle going to? I think it was Lagos or no, Ibadan. So I felt like in my heart, I was like, I didn't make it known to her, like, Ibadan, I know Ibadan very well now, but I didn't say it to her. So I now said, okay, so what are you going there to do? She said, I said, what is happening? You don't have transport. Actually, we were supposed to go to Lafayette, and then when we got there, we had to move to another extra village. So all the money they gave me was not enough. When she was, I didn't, you know, when nobody wants to, you know, person will go help you, not go stress you. You understand? So I don't have time for. I said, shut up. How much is everything? Life is not hard. How much is everything? If I get to this place now, I don't know how much. Too much talk. She's a Yoruba girl now, so too much talk. By the way, I'm a Yoruba man too. So don't start thinking that I'm trying to be against one tribe. I said, okay, so what is it? He said, then my boss also told me how much. So it will cost me. Uh-huh. So I intentionally now alighted where I shouldn't have. Because she was like, I don't even know. I say, I'll tell you where to go. Go to God. God is good. That's the only vehicle I use if I'm not flying down south. That's the only, if I'm going to go by, if I'm not flying. Most times I fly. All right. I said, so, okay. So I took her there. Oh, yeah. How much? Punch it. Oh, okay. So I paid. And when I was going, she said, let me have your number now. So that I said, okay. And anytime I'm coming back again, I might need to know my way. I might even want to think of Kefi. I said, okay. So I gave her. After 1 week, I noticed that I deleted the number. Because, you see, the motive is clear. And somebody said, Pastor, it's because she's not fine. If I tell you, she's fine. I told, can't you see fine girls in this church? And somebody said, Pastor, it's because she's not fine. If I tell you, she's fine. I told, can't you see fine girls in this church? And did any one of them tell you that? Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. says, purify your motive. And change your mindset. See, after me, say, Father, I thank you. Because you have encompassed me. Say it louder. Say, because you have encompassed me with favor. I have respected your priest. And I have honored your elders. Therefore, I declare the root order of favor on my life. I am root. I find favor with God and man. I walk in discernment on my way to the land God has prepared for me. I am beautified. I am beauty. I am root. My name is root. In the name of Jesus, my steps are ordered. I am led to glean in the fields of those that you have sent to help me. Therefore, people of means and godly heritage, they notice me to help me. I declare, I do not lack help. I am not stranded. In the name of Jesus. Say after me, say, in the name of Jesus, those who have been ordained to help me will not rest until they have done the full will of God to me. I declare every decision maker. Oh, say it louder. Say every decision maker. Every decision maker relevant to my advancement. They have the mind of Christ. And they walk in obedience to the word of God spoken concerning me. I am root. My name is root. I am beauty. I drip glory. My name is root. I am beauty. Lift up your hands all the while and rise up on your feet and pray in tongues. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Mercy is speaking for someone here. Mercy is speaking for someone here. Come on, lift up your voice and just pray in tongues for 2 minutes.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.